It's the Gary Knoll Show. Your host, Gary Knoll.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. Today, we have a lot to share about health and healing. We're going to talk about green tea and also potassium, amino acid supplementation, and breaking a sweat for your brain, and fermented soy milk. And we began with a study from Cuyahoga University. And it talks about green tea's chemicals, EGCG. They're backed to prevent life-threatening artery explosion. So what this means in lay language is by drinking polyphenol-packed green tea could help to prevent a deadly condition in the body's main artery, according to this research. This was laboratory research. This was published in the Journal of Vascular Surgery. The Japanese research team reported that polyphenols from the nation's favorite drink, green tea, could offer benefits in preventing the aneurysm and a serious condition characterized by destruction of the body's main artery. And the new study from Keita University team found that rats fed a green tea extract containing the EGCG, the epigallocatechin 3 gallate, developed less frequently than rats that were not given the polyphenol. So, one more reason to take your green tea. And one more reason to make sure you're getting potassium-rich diet or supplements. University of California at Irvine published an article in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. And it says that lower potassium intake is linked to premature death risk. That's right. According to the article, they found that you have a higher risk of dying during a median of 5 to 7 years, a follow-up period in association with lower intake of potassium. The risk was similar between individuals with normal and impaired kidney function. Quote, in healthy adults, higher dietary potassium intake is recommended given that potassium-rich foods are major sources of micronutrients, antioxidants, and fiber. And they said, yet among patients with advanced kidney dysfunction, they're looking at potassium restrictions given concerns that elevated blood potassium leading to malignant arrhythmias and death. So, what this says is lower potassium intake is linked to premature death risk. Now, if you're eating a lot of fruits and vegetables each day, you should be able to get all the potassium you need. If you want to drink a really healthy beverage that has a lot of potassium, coconut water. In fact, a liter of coconut water will give you about 500 milligrams of potassium. From the University of Michigan, people who lack compassion for the environment are also less emotional in general. People who respond less emotionally to images of damage to the environment are also less emotional and empathetic in general. And the differences in political ideology can limit policy adjustments that address climate change. Researchers and practitioners often raise concerns by appealing to people's empathy. However, some people appear less emotionally impacted by environmental destruction, particularly those who are more ideologically conservative and less pro-environmental. So, well, that's something we didn't know. So now think of all the oil spills and the forest fires. Think of global warming. Think of all the plastic in the oceans, destruction to aquatic life. Think of all the different things in our environment. So if a person is not empathetic with that and the environment itself, then they're going to be less empathetic persons. I remember one of the most heart-rendering pictures I ever saw. Maybe you saw it too. was about 5 years ago. It was a picture of a whole gigantic area of rainforest destroyed, leveled, and where palm trees were being put in their place for their palm oil, and which is not a healthy oil to begin with. But there was one single tree in these thousands of acres of cleared land still remaining. It was had one branch where there was a mother orangutan sitting holding her baby. And right below the tree was a man with a gun about to kill the mother. And wow, when I saw that, it's one of those pictures you can't forget. It's like the young girl running with napalm burning on her body in the Vietnam War. It becomes an iconic, burned in your mind image. So if people cannot look at the damage being done now to our environment and also to humans, then how realistic is that person going to be, someone who could give the proper input on what we can do for solutions? Because they've been desensitized. Just saying. Also from the University of Alabama, there's a combination, a metabolite of leucine, L-E-U-C-I-N-E, glutamine and arginine can improve vascular function and blood flow in older people. Quite simply, those three amino acids can boost your vascular endothelial function in older people by 27%. That's a huge increase in blood flow compared to a placebo. That can help lower your C-reactive protein and lower other pro-inflammatory markers in your blood. From the University of California at San Francisco comes a study about break a sweat for your brain, meaning exercise protects your aging synapses. Scientists at the University of California at San Francisco have found that the brains of physically active elderly adults contain more of a specific type of protein known to enhance the connections between neurons and help maintain healthy cognition. Importantly, autopsies showed this held up even among people whose brains contain high levels of toxic proteins associated with Alzheimer's and other neurodegenerative diseases. Quote, our work is the first that uses human data to show that synaptic protein regulation is related to physical activity and may drive the beneficial cognitive outcomes we see. That's good. Professor of neurology there said that. So, here's the takeaway message. Exercise as often as you can, and make sure you put some intense exercise in there. It's helping your neurons. And also from a Yakult Central Institute in Japan, fermented soybean isoflavones can cut ultraviolet damage. So consuming fermented soy milk products can help protect against ultraviolet radiation damage by increasing the number of isoflavone compounds in the body. That's good. It's not difficult to get fermented soy milk. So just put the two together. Just include it into your overall diet. That's the latest on health and healing. We're going to take a quick break. We have a lot to share. Please stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Historically, at least from the 1960s on, for at least 30 years, it was members of the liberal community who fought against book burning, book banning, freedom of speech. We were for it. We were opposed to anyone who would censor us because there had been a real campaign to try to control whatever media they had control over, and those in power to prevent those who had information that would challenge them from having that information reach us. Well, this past week, under a lawsuit, documents were released under Freedom of Information that show that the current White House was meeting secretly on a regular basis with Facebook, Google, Twitter, all the major platforms, and telling them who they should ban and who they should see are attacked. Meaning you have one person who has the truth, don't allow that person on, don't allow their article on or video, but over here is someone now who's going to attack them. Allow that attack. So you have a double negative. But here's something else that has just come up, and this is from Christian Thorsberg and Matt Stiles. And here's what they have to say. Book banning in the United States schools has reached an all-time high. What this means and how we got here. I'll just read a paragraph. GRID takes a comprehensive look at culture wars and censorship in America's public learning spaces. As kids, teachers, and librarians head back to school this fall, bookshelves around the country are a bit emptier than usual. According to data collected by PEN America, 1,145 books have been banned by school districts across the United States between July 1st, 2021 and March 31st, 2022. These numbers are at a historic high, said Deborah Caldwell Stone, who has tracked and analyzed book bans across the country during her more than two decades with the American Library Association. That's huge. Why? Because in a normal year, it's showing here that they would only have a small number of books that would be challenged. And just a handful, but not now. And it's getting worse. So we are at that great divide where those in power, those who support the status quo, those in the White House, Congress, the World Health Organization, and all behind all this is the World Economic Forum. And we're going to go into greater depth on that this week to show you how many tentacles they have, how much control they have that you're not aware of, who they support, who they can instruct, and who then influences you of what to believe or not to believe. So if you were to write a book about the woke culture, how dangerous it is, how wrong they've been, but how much power they have, that book is not going to be reviewed. It'll be attacked, and a lot of people won't get it. And now it won't make it into the school system. But books that support their position will make it in. That's why we have to be extremely careful and conscious of what's going on out there now. That's just one of the things I'm concerned about. But also, we mentioned 2 weeks ago, we showed you a video of something new that we'd never seen before, that had never existed before in human history. We saw you what was behind the blood clots in a particular autopsy. And this was a person who was an MD, PhD, and her PhD was in pathology. And after the blood was washed off the clot, you saw there was a bunch of tangles, looked like rubber bands. But these were not a part of the normal body, and yet they were taking on nutrients from the body. Now, there's two things we're about to see here. One is that one of these, when stretched out, stretched 2 feet long, one strand. And there are frequently multiple strands. And so the best that they can do now is say that they believe that this is a self-organizing nanolipid coming from the vaccines, the lipid in the vaccines. There's going to be a lot done on this now. It's too big. When you consider that this could be infecting everyone who got the vaccine with the nanolipids, it means that we could be putting every one of those people at risk. And it might take a year or two or three before these things grow to a point where they can cause a blockage. But then again, we're telling people to keep taking more and more boosters. That's one issue. And now that's being reported in a lot of different places, but not in the mainstream. Not in anyone associated with the COVID program. But now something else has come up that we talked about a year ago. And that is that the graphene hydroxide, which is a monolayered activated carbon, and it's being found in these vaccines. Now, this is separate. and a doctor, Andreas Noack, N-O-A-C-K, released a scathing video commenting on Dr. Camper's report. And by the way, Dr. Noack is a chemist and the world's leading expert in activated carbon engineering and graphene. So he's the top person in the world on this topic. And he's saying this is extremely dangerous because when you have an injection, a vaccine that contains nano razor blades of exceptional stability, that's what he's saying, which are non-biodegradable, and a fact that every chemist knows, in effect, these nano, what they're calling nano razor blades, cut up and destroy the heart, the brain, the cardiovascular system, the epithelial cells become rough, so things stick to them. And he says that toxicologists cannot find them in a petri dish by normal methods, as they do not move, and they don't expect to discover nano-sized razor blades. Moreover, any doctor who injects them with knowledge in this issue, he says, is culpable. Now, your graphene hydroxide is a new material, and toxicologists aren't aware of it yet. This is why people are dropping dead, he says, from these lethal shots, especially athletes. And even what's even more horrifying, according to him, is that if you perform an autopsy, you will not find anything. This stealth weapon is even untraceable after death. The graphene hydroxide nano razor blades cause people to bleed to death internally, but microbleeding in all these subcapillaries, cut here, cut there, cut here, cut there, and then you start clotting, which is one of the body's normal ways of healing itself. Interesting, after releasing this video and this report, he was killed. Yeah, he was killed just days after blowing the whistle. And his wife made an announcement that it was a brutal snake attack. Anyhow, I don't know any more on that. I'm not going to speculate on anything. But in any case, whether it's accurate or not, a lot of people are now looking at the larger picture of the graphene and in the RNA hydroxide in the RNA vaccines. And this is a metal. Now, the good news is you can take metals out by chelation therapy. So I would definitely recommend people using chelation therapy. And so anyhow, that's just something new that's out there that's happening. We're going to keep you on board on this. But we have a lot more to share with you, and we also have some really interesting comments. Now, also today, we're going to play a clip that I think you'll find interesting. For all of you who want to see my lecture in Kingston and the roundtable discussion that preceded it, Roland Marconi has just sent us a copy, and we're going to play it. It's only 13 minutes long. I'm not going to play the roundtable. I'll play my lecture. The round table is where five of us sat and gave our opinions on a lot of things going on in the world today. It was about 13 minutes long. That is the end of it, and you can download that for yourself. So we're going to go now to my discussion before all the people up there in Kingston. I want to thank you all for coming, by the way, because when I asked for a show of hands of how many of those came from New York, almost all the hands came up, New York, New Jersey. So it was like a two-hour trek up. So thank you for taking that time to come up there. Now to that discussion.
This is about peace and freedom of choice. I'm going to address both. First, I believe that too many Americans, not all, too many, support war because they support violence. Violence in films, violence in video games, violence in how all of the reality shows show the worst and debasement of human nature, the degradation of everything that is of moral and spiritual values. They trash it. They think that ratings are important. As a result, they bring on individuals that show the worst that you could do, smashing into things, yelling at each other, tipping over tables. Since when did that kind of behavior become something that we should be bringing into our bodies and into our minds? Because whatever energy you're around, you become. That's how we develop the epigenetic, meaning the epi, the larger environment that you have, all that becomes you. And that's why if we grew up in a household that was not in harmony, if we grew up where people were not giving unconditional love, then anything that was missing in your upbringing, you become. And it's confusing because it's almost all in the subconscious. You're not conscious of why you're reacting or overreacting. And as a result, when kids grow up thinking it's good to play a game, the most popular game in the world is video game, showing individuals killing one another, priding themselves on their success and their slaughter, their brutality. And this becomes the social norm where people don't discuss anything with civility, with manners, with decency, with a quiet mind that listens. A talking mind doesn't. Where is Gandhi when we need him, and Martin Luther King, and Malcolm X, and Muhammad Ali, and the Berrigan brothers, and all the others who came before them and after them, who were willing to get arrested, willing to get on enemies' list because they wanted to tell the truth? They weren't ideologues. They weren't political. They were simply looking for a way to resolve issues, and how you resolve an issue where there's conflict is find what is important in the other person that you also can identify, and what is sacred in the other person you can also associate with. Because when you show that another person is a human being, irrespective of what they've done wrong, you try then to mediate what caused the conflict and what is necessary for the solution. We don't have peacekeepers. We don't have those who go forward trying to find what is special, what is unique, and what is spiritual in the other. In fact, we only hurt those once we demonize them. So if you want to hurt someone, first demonize them. And who demonizes more than anyone else? All of the media. From NPR to PBS, they're all, in my opinion, promoters of the worst of human nature. Because the same people in the New York Times and Rachel Maddow and all the other programs and CNN, they all told you weapons of mass destruction. They were wrong. Vietnam would be the domino leading the Viet Cong to America. Wrong that Syria was run by a tyrant gassing his own people. Wrong. Honduras needed to have a coup. Wrong. Everything they've done has been wrong on foreign policy. Everything they do on domestic policy is wrong. As a result, we have no infrastructure that works. Our railroads, our bridges, our dams, our dikes. When you have 2.5 million children who are homeless in the United States, when you have 16 million adults and children who are food insecure, when you have 55 million Americans living under the poverty level, when you have half of all Americans can't give you $500 because they don't have it, they're kiting their credit cards, paying one credit card when it gets to the end with another. We are bankrupt because the government's bankrupt, because the states are bankrupt. If it wasn't for the bailout, every single major state would go under. New York City would go under. New York State would go under. Their constitutions don't allow them. So when it gets too bad, they just print more money. And that's your inflation. That wasn't Vladimir Putin who created our inflation. That was spending a fiat currency that isn't worth a damn. So when it comes time to make any choice about going to war, do your homework. But don't use Google, Facebook, Wikipedia, Twitter, and the media as a guide, because they can't ever tell the truth about anything. And don't just believe everything on the internet, because they infiltrated the entire internet with misinformation. Do your homework. Do your research. So if we care about people, let's start caring about changing our mind before we act. Let us look to see whether or not we have made the right choice and who's put the choice in our mind. Edward Bernays was the father of all propaganda, and virtually everything you see today is propaganda. You doubt me? Well, let's just take a look. Look at all the parents in America who have children who are obese, who have diabetes, adult diabetes, and their six-year-old, who have heart disease, who have high blood pressure, and who are diagnosed with that mythical condition of a brain chemical imbalance, whether it's depression or bipolar depression. A baby 6 months old can be diagnosed with bipolar and given a hard psychiatric drug. If you want to cure mental illness, get rid of all psychiatry and the pharmaceutical parasites that support it. Stop diagnosing people with brain chemical imbalances that don't exist. because you've convinced the world that if you've got depression, it's not because of something in life that should be talked out, looked at, understood, go back, find out the progenitor of it, what caused it, and bring it forward. When I start to work with cancer, I don't start by talking about the condition you have. That's self-evident now. How did you get that condition? How did you get something that became out of balance? Because when you're living a balanced life, mental, physically, spiritually, humanistically, environmentally, you're not giving the body and the mind the opportunity to become imbalanced. But when you don't watch what the television is telling your kid they should be eating, and the kid ends up obese and rotted teeth and gums and infections and doesn't have a healthy biome in the intestines to create a good immune response, and then your kid becomes more susceptible to illnesses that shouldn't even be in their vocabulary, it's because someone wasn't paying attention. Someone got too busy with something that was more important than their child's development. And then when, just this last year, parents started showing up at school meetings and saying, are you teaching my kid pornography at the age of 6 or 7? Well, if they are, why weren't you paying attention to the curriculum and how it was taught and who was teaching it and how did that come? That's the end stage of a problem, not the beginning. The problem started a long time ago when we thought we had freedom of choice and we didn't use the right choice. I have a right to take a vaccine or not, but the government doesn't want me to have that freedom of choice. We need to change our mindset. When someone comes to see me who's deathly ill, I don't start with a symptom, whether it's a stage 4 cancer or end-stage dementia. That's the symptoms of a life that has made too many wrong errors, and as a result, the consequences finally accumulated. That is true in everything in life. You don't wake up one day as an alcoholic. You don't wake up one day and you have heart disease when you didn't the day before. We process things. And in the processing of information coming in and the choices we make, we should have freedom of choice, but the wrong choice, which is almost always what we do. Look at all the bankruptcies. Look at all the people buying something they cannot afford. Look at all the medical procedures that are not working. We know they're not working. We know that synthetic hormone replacement therapy can cause a 13% increase in breast cancer, ovarian cancer, colorectal cancer, heart attack, stroke, and dementia. Now, 13% of 10 million people, women, to turn off hot flashes, well, you've got Dong Quai, you've got Vitex. You have herbs that can change the hot flashes because you're rebalancing the hormones naturally. We have natural hormone rebalancing, but we're not using that because that's not what the people who are telling us what to do have been conditioned themselves. So well-intentioned doctors are causing the unnecessary death and injury of tens of millions of people over the last 30 years. Yet every single one of those doctors and nurses and hospitals and administrators never gave back the money that they made watching someone die because they gave the wrong protocols. For example, I know someone that reversed 9 patients who had to have a heart transplant. Dean Ornish reversed all of them. I filmed them. If you watch the film, Curing the Incurable, every one of those people are going to have a new heart. None of them had to have it. That's Dean Ornish, a real hero. Everyone else can only give what they're told works. And who tells them? The pharmaceutical companies. But when was the last time a peer reviewer actually reviewed the actual studies? Zero. You only review what you're given. So you're only given that one study that showed some benefit, and all the other 99 studies that showed toxicity and death, you don't see. Now we're finding out the truth that virtually everything you were told about COVID was misinformation. Everything. So why do you think people haven't been taking vitamin D3, vitamin C, quercetin, and zinc, and magnesium in order to prevent their immune systems become so suppressed that if they do come into contact, with COVID or other virus, their body has a chance to fight it? Your immune system is your immune system. And why don't they tell you your immune system is the best medicine you have? And breastfeeding is the best vaccine there is. There's never been a vaccine ever that can match your breast milk, all right? But the formula makers don't want you to believe that. And the drug companies don't care for you. They don't give a damn about you. All they care about is how much money they can exploit from you. If they can give you 100 boosters even on your deathbed, they would do it to exploit you because they figure you're an average American. A, you're not educated about life. B, you're failing at life. C, you've made too many wrong choices. You think you're too old to change. And as a result, it's easy to exploit them. What they didn't count upon was you. Because truth on the side of one is still a majority. So you don't allow someone to self-inflict out of ignorance. The child's innocent. The child doesn't know what they're eating, the hot dogs, the hamburgers, the pizzas, the french fries, the colas, all of which are inflammatory. And what is the underlying cause of all diseases or most diseases? Inflammation, free radicals. So when you stop the inflammation, you then prevent that disease. Well, shouldn't we be putting some effort into prevention? We're putting zero into prevention. Nothing. Not a nickel. Because they don't care about you. They care about power. And they care about making sure that the choice you do use is not a choice that would liberate you from the tyranny of the experts. Stop trusting the experts. What we have now is we have 100,000 doctors and scientists fighting in a cocktail glass like they're scorpions. Orthodox against orthodox. The ultimate pro-vaccine, pro-science, pro-corporate science, pro-whoever gives them their research grants against the honest individual scientists and physicians who said, I started treating my patients early. One doctor, I'm having him on next week, 10,000 patients, all survived and overcame because they used hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, azithromycin, and monoclonal antibodies, and vitamin D, C, quercetin, and the patients survived. Now, he's not alone. Tens of thousands of others. But when was the last time you saw any human being, a board-certified physician, no controversy, not alternative, not just pure orthodox, brought on any show to say, you know, there's another way of approach. We should be treating people at the very beginning of a symptom. First day of a symptom, we should be treating them. No, the establishment chose not to treat anybody till your lips turn blue and you had to go into emergency care. And then they give you a very toxic drug, remdesivir, which was never tested on SARS. It was tested on Ebola in Africa, and 54% of the people it was given to died. And yet that's what's been given. You're going to see a lot of class action lawsuits on this. All right? So understand something. We've got a battle going on in America in every front. In medicine, for the first time in American history, tens of thousands of doctors are uniting and scientists uniting and pushing back against their colleagues. Because when I grew up, I started in New York when there were only 7 holistic doctors. All were under attack. None of them hurt their patient. They helped their patient. But nobody wanted in the orthodoxy to hear that you could treat a patient through freedom of choice without medicines. Dr. Martin Feldman never used medicine. And in his 45 years, though he's a board-certified physician, professor of neurology, he was number one at Yale College of Physicians and Surgeons at Columbia University. Bright man, quiet man, self-effacing. He never used medicine. He used diet, exercise, proper supplementation, and de-stressing. All right? So understand, we have alternatives, but when you spend 50 years denigrating all alternatives, homeopathy, chiropractic, acupuncture, nutrition, body, mind, and energy medicine, when you spend your whole career denigrating it, you don't talk to the patients. Look at Wikipedia. Ask the anonymous editors at Wikipedia that we know nothing about, did you ever treat a patient using natural therapies? Did you talk with the doctor that treated the patients using natural therapies? No. Well, then how are you suddenly the world's expert on it? This is arrogance and hubris at an astronomical level we've never seen. So walk away from the grid. Walk away from buying the New York Times, watching television, supporting PBS or NPR. Walk away. My clothes made in the USA, union labor. All right? Walk away from clothes from Bangladesh. Walk away from non-organic foods. The farmers market over here today had organic non-GMO. Support them. Support what is natural and non-toxic that leads to health and happiness. Look for the positive news. Look for the examples of people who are doing the right work at the right time in the right place and be a part of the right support system. No longer should we be priding ourselves in being a nation. Well, we don't really act, we're not activists. We don't get involved with the silent majority. Well, I'm sorry, but the silent majority should also be aware that when you're silent, when atrocities against your own people, let alone other people, are occurring, you're a coward. Stand up, even if you're going to be knocked down. All of us are going to get our asses kicked, and we're going to get on the ground a lot of times, but the courage of getting back up again and say, you might have beat me, but you've taken nothing away from me that's essential to who I am. Have the courage to speak up. Have the courage to fight back. Thank you all.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Please stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Noll. I'm trying to put together the pieces of a massive puzzle. I completely understand and empathize with people who say there's just too many things going on. I can't keep track of everything. I have to make my own life and my family and my security my priority. And therefore, though I might be interested in some of the things happening, I can't do the homework. I don't know who to believe. Okay, fair enough. So what I'm doing is this. I'm trying to show you the macro picture of how complicated our lives are because of people who want to control or control other people's lives or their resources. And it's accelerating. And it's accelerating at warp speed. If we don't become aware of this, if we don't become aware of who we should challenge and why, in peaceful, nonviolent methods, of course, but by not voting for them, by not buying their products, by going off their grid, by not reading their papers. Like I won't watch 99% of the media because I know it's going to lie. I know what you have on there is not someone presenting facts, but rather their interpretation of those facts, their biases. Now, why they're biased, I can't tell you that. Is it because they're afraid to tell you the truth, to even look for the truth? And what would they do with the truth if they've been indoctrinating their own audiences for so long, they'd have to apologize for that? And we're seeing it all the time. In fact, the head of the Pfizer is just now making an acknowledgement. Oh, well, why don't we do this? Why don't you hear what he has to say now versus the certainties he's been promoting about taking his vaccine nonstop, to which he's been given tens of millions of dollars in salary and compensation. And now listen what he's saying. Here's what he had to say just today.
That this is the way to go. And I questioned it. And I asked them to justify, how can you say something like that? But they came and they were very, very convinced that this is the right way to go. They felt that the 2 years of war on mRNA since 2018, together with BioNTech, to develop a flu vaccine, made them believe that the technology is mature and we are at the cusp of delivering a product. So they convinced me. I follow my instinct that they know what they are saying. They're very good. And we made this very difficult decision.
So let's be clear. This is Pfizer boss Albert Bourla backing down completely. And now he is saying that, quote, the RNA vaccine technology was not proven completely before they gave it to everyone else. They, quote, convinced him, end quote. But he wasn't sure. But boy, he was absolutely sure of the science, its safety and efficacy, as were the New York Times, Washington Post, all the other cable and major media. So people believe them. They want to believe them. It was all lies. And now a person has said at the head of the CDC, that they weren't completely convinced. But that's exactly the opposite of what you said. You were convinced. So then you were convinced. Now you're backtracking. Everyone is backtracking. And I understand why. Because we are being overwhelmed by new science, independent science that they don't control, that shows that every single thing we were told is now wrong. In fact, we're now told by good science that the more vaccines and boosters you get, the more likely you are to get sick, go to a hospital, and die. We're also being told that it's still safe for children, and yet the statistics for children are off the chart. They're horrifying, and no one should be allowed to get away with this, all the children who are injured and dying. So it's a time of confusion. So all I'm trying to do is bring it all together, all right? And even at this, according to LifeSite News, quote, big tech met regularly with Biden officials to discuss what to censor. On it, a Facebook employee eagerly said after being asked to delete a parody Anthony Fauci account. So you weren't told that behind the scenes, all of these major platforms were censoring people who were telling the truth. Now, there's a brand new study out, the largest study ever done of its kind out of Brazil, published in a peer-reviewed journal, that shows that 92% of the people taking ivermectin didn't come down with the disease of COVID. If they did, it was mild. 92% survival? Now, imagine if we would have used that at the beginning of COVID, we wouldn't have had a pandemic, we wouldn't have had an epidemic, we wouldn't have had as many people die as die of the flu. And by the way, what happened to all the people dying of the flu? Zero people died of the flu over the last 2.5 years? That's what statistics shows me. You know, that's not possible, because we would have between 60,000 and 80,000 people dying per year. They simply changed the figures. Everything has been manipulated. But now, the top scientists, the top physicians, the top journalists are coming in and pushing back hard. And now we're seeing the truth, and they don't want that truth to come out. But here's the larger picture. COVID is but one opportunity for those in power to even gain more power and exercise more control. The COVID passport, the vaccine cards, the digital IDs, the digital currencies, the chips, all of this is coming into fruition now. I'm going to give you one example right now. This is an unusual example, but it's not a simple example. It's a profound example. This is how one company, one major Fortune 500 company, one company that always has good press, whose president and top people are always invited to all the summits, who support the World Economic Forum, and they destroyed an entire country. The entire country. And yet, you would continue to use their products, you would continue to believe in them. What if I said that if you took a look at the Business Roundtable and the groups associated with the Council on Foreign Relations and the corporations that individual members sit on their boards, and you look at the crimes that they have committed, the corporations have committed, and especially the vaccine companies, and how many crimes they've committed, and how much money they paid, yet no one went to jail. How is it that if you commit any crime, you're monikered with that for the rest of your life? They commit repeated crimes everywhere, not a single dent to their reputation. And the mainstream media continues to account for them as if, don't worry about them, nothing to see there. But there is a very sordid and corrupt background. But we choose not to look at them. And as a result, this whole cabal, a gigantic cabal of corporations and governments and governmental agencies and technocrats are all working with the World Economic Forum to take control over your lives. And the only way they can do that is if we remain ignorant of what they've done and irresponsible to say no. here's an example how one company, highly respected, only good press, destroyed an entire country.
What if I were to tell you that one single business could take over an entire nation, poisoning a country's water supply with cancer-causing substances, destroying the nature and livelihood of millions? A business in control of a major nation's own national military, with full control of their government, using propaganda and killing protesters who get in their way. Well, this is what's been happening with Shell in Nigeria. Shell, a business who's owned by some of the biggest royal families in the world, has now quite literally colonized an entire country. They have developed a blueprint for companies around the world to take over nations. This is a story that has been covered up internationally. Propaganda runs deep, because if people knew the true extent of the story, there would be global outrage. And it's time we talked about it. So how could one single company take over an entire nation? Well, there's several steps you have to take. The initial and most obvious step when taking over a foreign nation is first deciding which one will be the targets. The location needs to have untapped resources, whether it be people, minerals, or oil. If you can get all three, that's perfect. And it's even better if these are the things that the majority of the country's revenue comes from, whether it be solely bananas, diamonds, copper, or the most prolific of all, oil. Secondly, the company needs to be able to control the government. And although this can be done with force, it's much easier and more effective to secure influence over a country using money. That way no one notices and everyone wins. So which country fulfills this criteria? Where could Shell find a nation with untapped oil reserves and an easily bribable government and military? Well, it just so happened that there was a perfect country crossing off all these boxes on the checklist: Nigeria. So now it was time for step two, making Nigerian officials completely dependent on Shell. So how do you get Nigerian officials dependent on a single business? Well, you have to control their main export. And in the case of Nigeria, this is oil. So the process was simple. One of the main ways that Shell would take control of Nigeria was by controlling the oil extraction infrastructure. To do this, Shell would tell the Nigerian government that we will develop your country, give you loads of jobs, give you tons of foreign investment, if we're given permission to build the oil extraction infrastructure. And at first, this seems like a great deal for the Nigerian government. Being a poor country in need of foreign direct investment, they want foreign companies to build up Nigeria's infrastructure. Because if they do this, it means there's more investment in the country, there's more jobs, more prosperity, more tax, and the better the country develops. So having this big multinational company offer to develop better extraction methods for your main export does seem like a win-win. However, this didn't come without a price. Because even though all the infrastructure would be on Nigerian land, Shell were the ones who would actually own and operate it. Which meant that in later years, Nigeria would become completely dependent on Shell for keeping about 1,000 Nigerian oil wells running. And with 95% of Nigeria's exports being oil, this then makes up 40% of their total economy. And now since Shell had control of the flow of oil in the country, they could now oversee almost half of Nigeria's total cash flow. And as Henry Kissinger said, whoever controls the money controls the world. And it was this factor that gave Shell unparalleled influence over the nation as a whole. It was a genius business move, because if Nigeria tried to change the deal and take back control of their own oil, Shell and any other oil company could halt extraction completely, decimating the entire country's economy. And because of Shell's powerful connections to the British and Dutch royal families, as well as all the other major banks, they would then tell other big companies to pull out their investments in Nigeria, thus stripping Nigeria of everything, strangling the country into submission. Shell also controls the distribution network for the oil. So even if, by some miracle, Nigeria managed to gain control of the extraction process, they would still need Shell to export it out of the country. And this oil money doesn't just fuel Nigeria's economy, it also makes up over 65% of the Nigerian government's revenue. Which means Shell is the Nigerian government's daddy. It's this reliance on Shell's infrastructure that really mirrors an abusive relationship, where the company can do whatever they want and the Nigerian government is powerless to stop them. If Shell ceased their oil extractions, it would push the economy into a deep recession, all while leaving the government penniless and unable to do anything. This problem would then quickly lead to civil unrest and revolt, a fact that the Nigerian government is very aware of. But then why is the Nigerian government so passive to Shell? Why did they even let this happen? Well, this leads us onto the third stage of controlling a country, bribery. Once Shell had Nigeria dependent on them for oil, it was time to make their way into the government. Recently, an anti-corruption investigation revealed that Shell transferred Nigeria $1.3 billion, knowing that the funds would end up in the pockets of convicted money launderers. Once Nigeria received the $1.3 billion, it was then transferred to various middlemen instead of being spent on the country. Afterwards, $466 million of that was given to the Nigerian president and his subordinates. In return, Shell gained access to the OPL 245 oil field, which increased the company's total oil reserves by one-third.
The EFCC is investigating whether the $1.3 billion purchase of OPL 245 in 2011, in their words, included acts of conspiracy, bribery, official corruption, and money laundering.
Despite Shell and Nigeria's government enjoying their mutually beneficial relationship, the bribery wasn't exactly extended towards Nigerian civilians. Instead of reaping the country's newfound wealth, the majority of the population was hit with a seemingly never-ending stream of oil spills. Starting from 2010, nearly 3,000 spills have been recorded and attributed to Shell, with at least 29 million liters getting drained into Nigeria. For reference, that's enough oil to fill over 11 Olympic-sized swimming pools. These oil spills then pollute the entire country's water supplies. So by now, the water that Nigeria drinks is poisoned with cancer-causing substances. Substances that also kill the surrounding nature, taking away the nature, farming, and fishing industries that many Nigerians are dependent on.
The oil operations also contaminated the water supply and agricultural land, killing wildlife and destroying economies that were based on subsistence farming and fishing.
Further impoverishing and poisoning the Nigerian people, making the Nigerians more and more dependent on Shell to give them money. As you can imagine, the local population wasn't all too happy with these constant oil spills, which leads us on to step four in taking over a country, controlling the civilians. While the methods of achieving this can vary from location to location, Shell has perfected controlling the populace. How could you make a country passive to your wrongdoings? How could you make them content with drinking cancer-causing water and having their entire country controlled by one company? If Shell couldn't control the civilians soon enough, their control of the country would collapse, people would revolt, and time was ticking. Shell needed to come up with a plan soon. And so what did Shell do? Well, they kept their head down and denied any wrongdoing.
All the four cases were sabotage, so not actually done by Shell, they were actually by criminals who steal products.
In fact, up until 2011, Shell only claimed responsibility for less than 40,000 gallons of oil spilled, or around 0.5% of their actual number.
All that is completely accurate and completely documented. Now, will you continue to use that person's products, that company's products, I should say? When you start looking at everything that we allow ourselves to participate in, you start seeing how many things we do, how many products we consume that are associated with people suffering, the world becoming more polluted, global warming increasing, the political system becoming more controlled, the media completely captured. And yet, we act as if this isn't important. This is very important. Also, I'm making one change. I have not gotten back all the blood chemistry results from our anti-aging study. Hopefully, I'll get them soon. But our October 2nd, that's Sunday, 1 p.m. premiere of the anti-aging film, I'm going to delay. I am going to put another film in its place. One of the most hard-hitting films ever produced in the history of documentaries. It's already winning multiple awards in the independent international awards circuit for documentaries. I'll tell you about that on tomorrow's program. Thank you all for listening. And remember, tonight on the Progressive Commentary Hour, you're going to hear a really pull back the curtain and show the truth about the whole field of psychiatry, which I considered an unscientific cult, and all the studies about your brain chemicals imbalances leading to your depression and anxiety, not true. Dr. Peter Bregan, one of the few board-certified psychiatrists to fight back at the entire institution of psychiatry, will be my guest for the hour, 7 p.m., PRN.live. And it's Zoom, so you can watch it as well. Have a nice day, everyone.
Greetings. I'm Francesca D'Alessio with the WBAI Community Bulletin Board. On Friday, November 18th, 8 to 10 p.m. at May Day Space. May Day Space is located in Bushwick, 176 St. Nicholas Avenue. That's Friday evening, November 18th. Feminist Collages, New York City, is painting the names of the people murdered in this year's act of anti-trans violence. They are inviting the public to join in. They say they create slogans from gender-based oppressions that should make front-page news, but don't. For more information, go to their website, maydayspace.org, or send an email, info@maydayspace.org, or give them a call, 732-771-9564. On Saturday, November 19th, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., the People's Forum presents a talk on the real path in Ukraine. The gathering is demanding a radical shift in the direction of U.S. military and foreign policy. Peace, not war. The People's Forum is located at 320 West 37th Street in Manhattan. That's in person at the People's Forum, 320 West 37th Street, and streaming online. This Saturday, November 19th, from 11 to 4 p.m. Sound Off, Music of Baal presents a live concert at the People's Forum, featuring string quartet music in support of Red Canary Song, a New York City-based massage workers collective formed in 2017. The People's Forum is located at 320 West 37th Street between 8th and 9th Avenues. For more information about these events and more, please go to their website, peoplesforum.org. That's peoplesforum.org. Or give them a call, 347-695-1095. Also, on Saturday, November 19th at 7 p.m., there's a free screening of Gabby Gifford's Won't Back Down. This is co-sponsored by Gays Against Guns, which you can hear on WBAI Tuesday at 2:30. This screening is at the Park Slope United Methodist Church, 410 6th Avenue. And Gays Against Guns is also putting together a Trans Day of Remembrance on Sunday, November 20th, from 4 till 8 p.m. at the Stonewall Memorial, 53 Christopher Street in Manhattan. For more information, go to gaysagainstguns.net or call Sarah Lilly at 347-254-9057. On Monday, November 21st at 6 p.m., there's a statewide action to protect human rights and dismantle New York's incarceration system. Simultaneous rallies in multiple locations across New York, including Albany, Buffalo, Long Island, and New York City. The rallies are urging New York to restore packages, visits, and mail to incarcerated people. To implement the HALT law ending prolonged solitary confinement. And to adopt long overdue legislation. For more information, go to rappcampaign.com. That's rappcampaign.com. If you have an event you'd like to share with us, please email cbb@wbai.org. For the WBAI Community Bulletin Board, I'm Francesca D'Alessio.
Hey, old buddy, old pal.
So I want you to be my buddy.
Friends or buddies, as we like to refer to you as here at WBAI. Either way, we invite you to join us and become a member of this fine radio station. We want to partner with you, but we want to do it in the least imposing and most painless way possible. Here's the deal. It's called the Buddy Pledge. You give us your support for 12 months, and we give you access to the most eclectic music, as well as the best and thought-provoking news, talk, and community affairs. Sound good? See it in your heart to pledge a minimum of $10 per month. Each payment will automatically be deducted from your credit or bank statement, so there's no reminder need it. Just join us for a one-year membership and go online at www.give2wbai.org. That's give2wbai.org and be part of our vibrant community. WBAI New York.
This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. More Gary Noll coming up in the next hour. Just wanted to let people know that Leonard Lopate at Large will return on, I think, tomorrow at 1 p.m., if I'm not mistaken. I just have to check on that to be sure. But it's not on today. So,